So right now, as we are recording, we are making plans to go to PAX. It's a ways out there, but if anybody knows how to go to a con and how to plan it, you plan way ahead of time. Now, I think only three out of the five of us were cool enough, subjective, cool enough to go to cons back in the day. I went to a lot of different Otakons and Katsukons. I went to one called T-Mode, which was in a hallway in a hotel. It was in the realm of, like, when me and my friends were going to cons a lot, and then we heard, oh, there's an anime con, it's called T-Mode. I think it was in Virginia. I'm like, yeah, let's go to that. And it was literally a hallway. And I was like, this isn't fun. It was very small.
Small and packed, probably.
Yeah, yeah. It was a few hundred people, but like I said, it was just extremely
halfway
small.
Through, did they close both entrances and exits to the singular hallway? And it's like, we're going to purge the virgins.
Wait, John, that's everybody.
Every single one of us were.
He's like, hey, anyone seen Old Boy? Who has a hammer?
But one of my favorite things. There's a bunch of cool things about cons, but I think one of the things that I loved about cons were, I'll say two things. I'll cheat here. Cosplays were always fun to get into, and just to see the kind of creativity here. I know Tim, you and I cosplayed a few times, and. But I don't think anybody knows this. Mark is a way better cosplayer than any one of us.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't done that shit in a while, man. It's been years. I don't got time for that.
Come on.
No, I don't cosplay anymore. One more con. I do drugs. I'm cool now.
It's like back in the day.
Yeah.
No, but that Winter Soldier cosplay you showed us was fucking sick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was that from? Otakon? That was probably 5 years ago at this point. It's 5 years, I think it is. That was DC.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was going to say, because Otakon stopped being in the Baltimore Convention Center.
Thankfully.
Tragically. No.
Thankfully.
I loved the Baltimore Convention Center.
Oh, I hated it. Like, the first time I went to Otakon, that was like back in 2010. I remember going there, and it was fine, but then we went again the next year, and it was just so packed, you couldn't even, like, walk through a hallway, because, like, everyone's, like, trying to take pictures, and then they block a hallway, and you're like,
yeah,
all right, we need to go through, and then no one knew anything, plus Baltimore Convention Center, I'll say it right now, kind of sucks in a lot of places. I think they fixed a lot of the issues that they did have, but there's... There were some issues there, infrastructure-wise.
Oh, well, yeah. They have to do constant upkeep on that thing. Well, it takes up multiple blocks. So,
well, it takes up multiple blocks, but I will just say the point is, I remember one year that there was definitely probably a bathroom backing up at one point, and
in the
food court area. So,
oh man,
so because that was not fun. Yeah,
I've only ever been to the Baltimore Convention Center once, and it was not a con.
No.
Well, it was Tree Con, wasn't it?
It was Tree Con.
The man show, yeah. It was a nursery thing.
It's Tree Con, John.
Tree Con, yeah.
It's technically a con.
Man, talk about nerds.
Nerds with your plants and holistic soil.
I would go there all the time for the MotoTrend Auto Show. They would put all the cars inside the convention center.
Oh, that's
car
cool.
Con.
And it was like,
yeah,
and it
car
was
con.
Like, yeah, and it was for, it was like all the like international companies like Toyota, Honda, Ford, all that. They would like showcase their brand new cars for the year, and that would be like one part of the floor. And then the rest of it would be like custom cars and stuff. So it was always really cool to like sit in all the new cars.
I mean, let's be honest, Kelly. Nobody really cared about any of those. They were just waiting for the Teslas. Let's wait for real innovation, people. Okay.
It would be so funny to watch some nerd get dunked on if you pull it up to like a muscle car thing. Like, oh look, here's the new Tesla model, I don't know, dickhead or whatever it's called.
No, he's getting beaten mercilessly.
Hey, the federal government just issued XAI an up to $200 million contract for their for Grok. Oh, whatever.
Why not? But, we have unlimited money.
Two days after it called itself Mecha Hitler.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, wonderful. That's fun.
So the new Tesla SS model is coming out then.
So
it goes
so
like John, a lightning bolt.
John, you
right through pedestrians.
Exactly. John, you had talked about going to the Baltimore Convention Center and mm-hmm. it not being a anime con. Mm-hmm. There was one time recently, or it was a few years ago, my company had our Christmas, our Christmas party, and we had it at the Gaylord Hotel in DC. Mm-hmm. And I always know that from Katsucon because it was there for so many years. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like walking around and I'm like, it's so weird not seeing just a bunch of weebs.
Yeah.
It was always just covered in weebs. And now
where
it's
were
just...
all the Narutos?
Yeah, right.
Narutos.
Like, I was like, I slept on that couch right there one year.
I remember the only thing I've been at the Gaylord Hotel was MAGFest. And that was actually pretty fun. That was the big gaming convention. So like you had like a lot of video games that you could play. That was actually the first... one of the few times, I think it was that in Otakon at one point, that I got to try the Gundam simulator.
Oh, yes.
Where you go into a pod and you actually get, like, on the controls and stuff. Everything was in Japanese, so I was like, yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on.
I'm pushing buttons.
I'm pushing buttons and I'm swinging
a
sword.
This swings the sword, so I'm good.
Yeah, right.
I figured it out.
Oh man!
When it shook a couple times, like if you took a hit, like the whole thing would like actually shake. And whoa. I think there was like someone else talking about the time they did it, and they were like getting motion sick inside because they were just like, "Oh god, this is too much!" Like too much movement side to side.
I could
say
that. Yeah, I'd imagine it's like one of the G-force machines. It's just like, you're trapped in this thing, and it's shaking around and moving.
It's yelling at you in Japanese, and you're like, "I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying to shoot shit."
They sound mad.
When they did all the cuts to the FAA, they just took one of the pilot simulators and just was like, "Let's make a Gundam."
I mean, it is still pretty fun. It's just like I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. but I remember the fun part about that was everything extended, so it kind of felt like when you swung the sword, it felt like in a mech, it wouldn't be instant. So you had to like time it because your swing would be a little bit longer than the swing you would think it would be. So you had to like time everything out.
So it required rhythm. I see white rhythm. People are at a disadvantage.
Says the bassist over here. Right up on your tower.
He lives and breathes rhythm
over here.
Yeah. Good.
I'm pumped for PAX Unplugged. Yeah, we're going to PAX Unplugged because there's a couple different PAX, right? It's like PAX East, whatever. So yeah, PAX Unplugged in Philly. I want to play a lot of games this year.
That's what you said last year.
I know, but I still think I ended up just looking at shops a lot, even though I spent all my money the moment I got there.
Yes, you did. I remember you
did. It's really easy to do. It really is.
But yeah, I can't wait to go to the Paizo booth and play whatever games they got going. And then, I just want to try out new shit.
Oh my gosh, Kel, that reminds me. You know that that one, Mark, that one booth that you like to go to that's really all occult?
Oh,
cult games.
Yeah. Hold on, I got them right here.
It's right there in front of them.
Oh well, no, I can't even show it because of the webcam. The Archon games. Yeah.
Yeah, Kelly. I think you remember that deal you signed in Blood that you were like you took the games, but you offered them like was that a pint or something? It was a lot. Like I was really kind of surprised you signed that contract. You were
like
a lot of
left
cash.
Nut or something.
Kelly's like, "Yeah, joke's on you. I don't need these anymore."
These are expensive.
Oh god. Now, let me say this. Another part of cons that always holds something near and dear to my heart are the raves that I used to go to.
Oh, man.
At Odaikatsu. We'll continue the rave dance conversation next time.
Oh yeah.
But there was
sure.
one instance I want to talk about, which was very funny, in that me and my friend Claire. We went to, I don't remember what, it was definitely Otakon, because I remember the location, but I remember we were hyped up on, like, five hour energy drinks, and, like, we were, like, ready to fucking go, and we get to the rave, and the person, and the DJ was just playing, like, anime intro music.
Sweet.
And we were like, what the shit is this?
this is fucking sick. That's what it is.
Yeah, we just like sat on one of the couches, and then eventually we were like, this is lame, let's go home. We just like left. But I will say, I think that was a Friday rave. The Saturday rave is like always better. Mm-hmm. So if you have a chance to go to a con, any con, but the anime cons are near and dear to my heart, please go. We will be at PAX Unplugged this year, so make plans now. Buy your ticket now. It is late November, so please, you have plenty of time to make arrangements. But we'll be there. We'll meet up with you. We'll get lunch or something like that. But we're very excited to get to a con this year. Well, the song and dance we have today is between these horrible, horrible creatures with maws for heads and multiple hands. Can you imagine how many glow sticks they would hold?
I know. They're definitely thrashing like a rave, that's for sure.
I mean, yeah. Definitely a Hatsune Miku concert right there. Glow sticks.
There is a little disco ball in this room. I forgot to mention that.
Oh my gosh.
There's a little disco ball in this chamber you're in.
I need to change the battle music.
Oh my god.
Disco we get a plus synth? +5 disco ball bonus to attacks?
Anime intro music.
It's just called Dungeon Disco.
Dungeon Disco.
Wait, Tabletop Audio does not have anything tagged disco.
Well, you better email Tim right away and tell him.
So disco is dead.
Tabletop Audio got no soul.
Well, see, here's the thing. These guys with their forearms, they could play multiple games at this point. I mean, they could, I don't know, like you said, they have eyes and stuff.
Yeah,
so they play like two games, like pairing it like that.
Mm-hmm. So if you remember, we ended last episode with a critical hit on Garn.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Time for critical damage, Tim.
Tornicus.
So, by the way, this episode, of course, brought to you by Black Oak Workshop.
Uh-huh.
Black Oak Workshop.
Don't put that evil treasure on them, Jake.
These dice are also 58 points of damage.
Oh, Garn. Shit.
No.
That's fucking bad.
Oh, he's dead.
Actually, Garn is dead. He only had 57 hit points.
Whoa.
Nah, he's fine. He's fine.
He went to die.
Don't fucking scare me like that, Tim. Jesus Christ.
The entire time, you're like, "Hell's how everyone looking?" Oh, Garn's fine. Garn's fine. No, he's dead.
Garn's fine. He's dead. He's like, "Sorry, I accounted for 57 points of damage, not 58."
I don't know. He's like, "No, I have 57 max HP. That's my max HP.
That's my max. I just put it all into charisma."
the dwarf put everything into charisma. Not con.
I mean, his charisma was his weird shaped body.
Has a certain charm to it, you know?
Yeah. So that was the end of the Gug's turn. So we can go right into Kezra's turn. So Kezra, you walked out of the squeezing hallway, that little crack in the wall, and got smacked twice from these things as you came out. So you know that you cannot stand there and move around and cast spells.
Yep, I know. I've been thinking about this. There is just no way for me to be safe, so I am going to take just a five foot step down south towards the bottom Gug, but notably 15 feet away from the northern Gug. So hopefully this thing doesn't have 15 feet of range, and the step doesn't incur either. So at this point, I am going to attempt to cast a spell. So I know I'll. So just go ahead and try to resolve it on me, so I don't even pick.
Yep. So two attacks of opportunity on you.
That one has 15 feet of reach.
Yes, they both have 15 feet of reach.
Oh, yeah, that was the thing in the first part of the combat. Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Well, go ahead and take them. Shit.
All right.
I thought that was just like their cone ability.
No. Their claws and their jaws both have 15 feet of reach.
What the fuck? That's crazy.
So
this is bad.
So you take a step back and you pull your hand up, and the one on the north side sees you and just reaches its head out 15 feet.
Holy shit. Does he get any cover because he's going through, you know, Benson and the ghost?
You'll get, well, no, it's only, is it for melee? I don't know. It's always between systems.
That just seems a little bit odd.
I honestly don't know.
Yeah. It's also a large creature.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
it's standing over top.
My gut says no penalty, but
yeah,
you might be right.
34 to hit, so even if you had some cover, I think that would
that
would still get over. Okay. So it's going to be 31 points of piercing damage.
Ugh. Shit. That fucking hurt. 31?
Yep. 31 piercing.
Oh, wait, and Benson, you haven't used your reaction yet, have you?
I think I've used my reaction.
Yeah, because they thrashed. Both of them thrashed twice. Fuck. Or thrashed all of them.
Believe me, I want to help you out, yeah, man, but I can't.
Okay. Kezra falls.
Oh, okay.
But he cast Drop Dead. He's invisible.
Yeah, Yep. Okay, so you cast Drop Dead, so...
Kezra!
It's a thing, don't worry.
I'll say this. So, Kezra, you put your hands up to do the somatic components, and it went over, and it chomped, and all you guys see is his hand is gone, and he drops, and you see his, like, body bleeding out from where his forearm used to be.
Ugh. Ew. Is that what you say?
Ugh. Okay.
Ew.
That's distasteful.
That so, wasn't.
Because I'm dead now, yuck. I don't think this Gug's going to attack me with an AOA.
No, the one directly to your right will not be attacking you.
So instead of casting a spell, I'm going to move.
Oh, yeah. You're invisible.
I'm invisible, and I've got two actions, so...
Nice.
Get 20 feet away, I guess.
Well, actually, wait, hold on. It wasn't a crit.
Get over here.
This is weird, because I was casting a spell. That was technically the action. But since I casted a reaction that's a different spell, I don't want to do that anymore.
Oh. Well, he didn't crit you, so...
It doesn't interrupt it.
Yeah.
Huh.
So you would get the...
That's weird.
Oh, that is very, very weird. Because
now I'm invisible and I want to be that way.
I was going to say... No, okay, so here's what happens, is that you go to cast a spell, his reaction happens, your reaction happens. You're doing the one spell with your right hand, the somatic component's there. You use the reaction with your left hand, so you're still casting the other spell.
Okay.
So it didn't disrupt the spell you were trying to cast... It's just you casted something as a reaction to continue doing the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because if you change what you're doing now, then that reaction wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
it still gets me out of an AOL, which makes me happy. I think that's plenty worth that spell.
Right.
Because I'm like okay-ish, but another big hit like that would have been bad. And then I was going to cast a 5th level Blazing Bolt.
Oh, okay.
At all three of them. Or two of them.
Two of them, okay.
So it'll be the nearest Gug, and I'll shoot the bat.
Okay.
The bat.
They're both flat-footed to me because I'm technically invisible.
Because you're invisible, yeah. Okay, so you're going against the Gug first.
I will go Gug.
I don't know what they're called. The Maw Thing.
I will go Maw Thing first. Shit. Where am I? Okay. To hit.
Mm-hmm.
30 flat-footed.
That's a hit.
Yeah!
Oh, good.
Very nice.
That was man. 10 on the dial.
Oh.
Alright.
Come on, Kendra.
Alright, 10d6 fire coming in.
Ooh, shit.
10d6? Is that what you just said?
Yes, sir. So 10d6.
Like, okay.
10d6 plus 5 because of my sorcerer's potency. I keep forgetting to use that, and I'm like,
yeah.
Use it. Especially on 5th level spells. So this will be 46 fire damage to the gug. Ooh. Or the chompy bis thing.
Yeah, hey, yeah. The Demogorgon from Stranger Things.
And copyright. Is he still up?
Yeah. So okay. The creature's still up, and then the bat's in the air, but I would say because you have low light vision, you can see it because the torch is just on the ground. So, right. So I can see.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Second attack on the bat. Not probably going to be hit. That was a 4 for 24.
Yep, that is a miss. So it goes wide and just kind of scorches the ceiling above you.
Okay, no problem. 41 damage. And yeah, that's my turn.
All right, we got another code coming your way. Get out your phone, get out your pencils, get out whatever you need to write this down. The code is round table. Round table. So message one of the DPS, the code for today, round table.
Okay. Viscount Ambrose.
Okay. So from this angle, I mean, God, at this point, just stay in the fucking crack here. but he is actually going to cast a spell, because there's no way they can reach him anyway. He's going to cast one of his focus spells called Lifelink Surge, that is going to give fast healing to basically myself and the Eidolon, so together it's the same. Like, it doesn't matter.
God damn.
Okay. So, cool. It'll be fast healing 12 for 4 rounds.
What?
That's really? Awesome.
Yes, because...
Dope.
Yes. So, basically, the whole thing is that he is kind of, like, holding his hand to, like, his side, and he's just, like, sending in energy, and then Benson can see the Eidolon next to him feel a little bit better as he's healed for 12, and using Act Together, the Eidolon is going to swing at this Gug. And
this Machamp looking motherfucker, you should say, since we haven't actually
this Machamp fucker. Yes, this Machamp fucker. Oh, 37 to hit.
That's hit, yeah.
Beautiful. Damage.
Spicy.
Nice. That's
it. 20 points of damage. There's cold and spirit in there. Just
okay. Nothing. Yeah, that all goes through the same. Sorry, was this on the north one?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, what's so, Benson?
No. I'm timing. all right, so 20 points of damage on him.
Yes. Okay. He's going to swing again.
All right.
Since he has 3 actions. That's a 30 to hit.
That's a hit, yeah.
Holy shit.
Let's go.
Damn, that was a 12 on die. I was like, huh, that won't. Okay.
I think these things have a lot of health, but not a great AC.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just say it, like, plus to hit with him without any map is plus 23. So. He's,
okay. Yeah, that's good.
And actually, yeah, no, it's 5 for this because the second he has basically 2 different attack forms that he can use, and the primary is the more powerful one, but the map is 5 instead. Secondary, it's 4. So, gotcha. But anyway, damage will be another 20 points of damage.
Oh, another 20.
And as his last action, because there's no way he will hit, he is going to, like, Benson will see him do something where he will use, what's the word for it? To assist?
To aid?
Yeah, he's going to use his last action to aid Benson to strike.
Excellent.
Because he has a high enough ability for this.
Okay. What is that, a plus 2?
If I guess I would say like
roll it on your turn.
Yeah,
I'll roll it on.
It counts as a reaction for purposes. Yeah. Okay. So next, we are at the top of round 3. The bat creature is going to swoop down and try to attack Garn again.
I knew it.
Still intimidated, or not?
No, because it was that ended last turn.
What if I ask nicely?
Go ahead.
That's a good point. Asking nicely is very scary.
You ever have someone to be nice to you? Horrible. So it's going to be a fang strike on you. So it comes down and tries to bite you in the head for 34 to hit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
24 points of piercing.
Okay.
Alright. And then it flies up.
Dick.
Ah, the poison! I can almost feel it course through my veins! I have no idea what this thing is.
No, that's just you.
I have a, there's no poison. It's just biting you in the head. It flies down, gnaws on your helmet, and then flies up.
It flies up, and he's like, what the hell are you talking about? Poison? I don't got venom.
like touches his tooth. What?
I brushed this morning. What the fuck?
Okay. Vincent, it is your turn.
All right. I can't reach the bat thing, so I guess I'm going to swing for the Machamp motherfucker in front of me.
Alright.
And do I get the 8?
Yeah. I would say it's, yeah, definitely. It's an 8, like, imagine since he is a soldier as well, or, like, a guard, like, that was actually very well done. Like, whatever you do, he will, like, mimic to feint the creature, so it, like, maybe focuses on him more.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So sort of doing like a phalanx formation or something that, to double team, yeah.
So that's plus 2.
What would I roll then for that? Athletics or something? Or
it depends what you're, how you're trying.
Yeah, you kind of described a deception in my mind.
Oh, I was I mean,
or maybe try or, to, like, or,
hold
or maybe
the
just
Gug's arm or something, you know.
Or just it could be an attack roll.
I was thinking
attack roll, like, less that, more... No, I wasn't trying to, like, say distract. It was more, like, assisting Benson. Yeah, so... I'm trying to think of, like, two soldiers fighting one creature, and it's just, like, a flurry sort of situation.
Yeah, right. You're trying to be, like, real in sync.
Yes. So, I mean, that would be a 35, so...
Success. So you get the
plus one.
Yeah. So you get the plus one to this attack, Benson.
Yeah, 19 plus 21.
That is 40.
40. That's a crit.
Wow. That plus one. See, plus one makes
all
the difference.
What did you roll?
I rolled a natural 19.
So that is a crit.
Oh,
like,
I keen.
Actual keen.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because it's keen.
The crit anyway.
So yeah, it was a crit anyway. Yeah. Alright, so go ahead and roll critical damage. Let's see if this thing stays.
Oh, see, I thought you got a card for that. Never mind. Sorry.
No.
Only natural 19.
It's okay. John will at least get double damage this time.
Yes.
Yeah.
We won't rob him of double
normal damage.
It's poor guy. Every crit he rolls is natural.
Normal damage. The enemy sneezes.
38.
It's usually cool things.
38 points of damage.
Woo!
Let's
go. Oh, boy. Describe your kill, actually.
Yes.
So
it had exactly 38 left.
As this ghost knight that Benson feels this weird kinship towards goes up and defends Benson for him to make this strike, he catches one of the arms, leaving the chest open, and Benson literally like throws his whole body in a frontal stab and catches this thing right in the center of the chest and just brings it fully down.
Oh, beautiful.
Nice.
So that was my first action.
Nuts.
Wait, that was the first
that
action?
That was his first.
Gosh, okay.
How's Kezra and or Garn looking?
Kezra?
I'm fine.
I could take another hit or two.
I mean, that's famous last words. You sure?
I'll take another one.
I'll be fine. I think if you kill that Gug, you're doing more service to me than healing me, I think.
I will.
Killing the what?
The huh?
Killing the flaily arm thing.
Okay, it's the Machamp motherfucker.
Yeah, the Machamp motherfucker. That's what we're doing here. Okay, I can't reach the bed. I can't get in front of Kezra, but I can at least get in range of my strike, and Foundry's being a bit of an asshole right now, so if I could just move down 5 feet.
There you go. Alright.
And
so you take a little... Good.
And we're going to do the... I just moved down to get in range of the final Machamp motherfucker.
And if you raise your shield instead of attack, you could potentially use your shield wall, whatever ability, to shield block from me if I take a hit.
I'll do that. I will raise my shield.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yep.
So you'll get the AC bonus, and then you can also use your extra shield block reaction, so not your reactive strike reaction that you want to use for something else. You get the extra one for either me or you. Or Garg. Garn.
Garg?
Garg.
You know my brother?
That sounds like Garg.
Garg.
Me first, me. Garg.
Garg.
Okay, so Benton steps up and takes position with the shield. Garn. Shooter.
Garg, I mean Garn.
So, in story, Garn actually doesn't know he has a brother. His brother's name is Garg, and his brother was scooped up by pirates and lives a swashbuckling life.
Oh,
so that'll be cool. That's my backup. My new backup is Garg the dwarf.
Garg the swashbuckling.
Garg.
It works.
Oh, man.
So Garn is going to heedlessly maneuver himself around the battlefield to Nya.
Okay.
Heedlessly. I just want to let you know how heedless I'm doing this.
You heedlessly got behind this creature, so you are flanking with old buddy Benson.
Oh, I don't care to flank. I don't care about any of that. I don't care if I had the advantage because they will all fall by my blade. I mean, my club. It's the club family.
Pokey stick rock.
My pokey stick rock. So.
Ben's sitting there like, darn. This guy's supposed to be a smith.
Actually, do I really want to? Okay, so I moved.
Is
one
it,
action.
Is it not going to take an attack of opportunity?
Strike.
I was going to say, but I was going to say attack of opportunity, but now he's might be changing his mind. So,
how about you do it anyway?
I'm just going to strike him. If you want to instigate the blender and end the combat, I'm fine with that.
I mean, he would be taking the attack of opportunity here. So, actually,
like did he use Kezra. This? Benson and I are all going to get attacks off.
This
of
will
him
be
if
his
you
death.
Strike.
So you know what? He doesn't, and you'll see why. Go, so right, go, cool. go ahead and take your attack.
All right. My strike probably missed with a 27, even though I'm flanking.
Yeah, unfortunately that is that one away. Unfortunately from even with flanking.
But don't worry, because as I miss with the strike, you see, so he like slams down. Like, kind of underneath his legs.
Okay.
And then you see this morning star extend to, like, a bending reality and possible length. And he just reactively, doesn't really kind of understand what's going on. He brings it up. And I'm going to need this big multi-hand Machamp and the bat to make a reflex save as compliant gold topples the pillar of heaven.
What?
What the fuck? What anime shit is
toppling
this?
Toppling the pillar of heaven!
What haikus are you writing?
I love this class. Right. It's so silly.
So what save am I making here?
You're making a reflex save.
Reflex.
It's my class
DC. You're
making
a heaven save.
Freaking heaven save? You save against heaven? The pillar of heaven?
32
on
the Denver Bergen thing.
How is their relationship with our lord?
Not great. Not great, to be honest. So 32 on Machamp.
Okay, so regular success, regular
and,
pass.
And a 33 on the vampire bat.
Alright, both regular success, but don't worry because I'm going to be rolling 6d8.
Oh, that's good.
That's good. It is. So 30 points of damage, so 15 to each.
15 to each.
And okay. Then because I sparked transcendence in front of this multi-hand creature, it is scared of me.
Oh.
Why is it scared? Because of one of these 50 abilities that I have.
What's he gonna do?
Okay, so it has to actually, the multi-arm thing has to make a reflex, not a reflex, a will save
a will
to
save,
see if
okay.
it becomes frightened by my apparent miss that turned into a massive strike right under between his legs. I'm just throwing it out there.
Right,
I don't
so
know.
So a 30, 30 total.
30 total against my class DC. I think that might be it. Come on, where is the
31?
Thing?
I thought class DC was 31 at this point.
It should be 31. I mean, not mine is. But.
what class is he? It is 31.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sweet. All right, so sick. He just fails. All right, so nice. He is frightened.
Frightened. And then...
Oh, my God.
Kezra, you are feeling so blessed.
No, to have no me I don't want
on
it.
The battle. You're so blessed to have me on the battlefield. I don't want it. Some might say that I look radiant.
Oh, don't, I promise.
Sparkles in your eyes.
So intuitive. As
you behold the misshapen dwarf.
The power trip Kim gets from this.
Swinging his giant weapon all over the place.
I hate what Tim has done to this ability.
The power trip that he gets from this is so funny.
He was so perverted.
He is cackling over
his perverted death. The radiance.
Every time he used it, I felt more and more uncomfortable.
you get 26 points of healing.
Fantastic. Okay. Fantastic. I take it against my will.
No.
I want to roll a will save.
Oh god. Okay. Alright.
I would have failed anyway. Only three.
Kezra is influenced by the radius, Kel. That's up to you, Patty. How you roleplay that out, man. Alright, so.
Okay. Oh. I don't want to speak for Kezra, but how does Kezra feel?
He vomits out
of
rainbow.
For some reason, when I fight with this weird lumpy dwarf, every now and then, I get this intrusive thought of how beautiful he is, and then I feel better for some reason. And then it's gone. It's gone. It's like a goggles. Fart in the wind.
That's right, Tim. Your radiance is like a fart in the wind.
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. All right. Is the end of Gurn's turn, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The creature, then seeing his friend die, and then you guys surround it, goes, and he is going to run over to the door, open said door, run through said door.
I don't know. Why? I thought it was stupid.
Ooh, you did. Did you?
It's very presumptuous of you, Kel.
It really is.
He has four arms. One for each opponent.
I just assumed with the gaping maw and such, he didn't have a brain.
that's a safe assumption.
Where does brain go if head not there?
Where brain?
Dummy thick ass.
So that is this turn. It did not close the door. It was unable to. So do with that with
four arms. It couldn't.
Because of action economy of this game, he can't close the door behind you.
Okay.
So, Kezra, it is your turn. I think you might be able to see it with the torch on the ground shining through.
Yeah, I can see 40 feet.
Oh, okay, you can. Okay, okay.
Oh my gosh.
So you can see it down at the hallway. Let me make sure of something really, really quick here. I just want to look at its speed. Oh, okay, all right. So it was here when I opened it, and then it moved. I just want to make sure I get the distance right. Okay.
Does it have a bonus to speed when it's running away like a coward?
Nah, it's just fast because it's really... It moves in an unsightly way. So it gets to... So if you look down the hallway, you can see it, and it looks like it is at the other end of a hallway. But that's all you're able to really, really see here. All
right. Kezra steps in front of Benson to get a clear line down the hallway. And
yes, Kezra, do it for me.
Like scales crawl up his neck and face, and then just giant gout of lightning down the hallway. Trying to fry this thing before it gets away. Roll a reflex save.
That's my worst one, and it's frightened.
Is it?
Yeah, for me.
Oh boy. Well, it's a natural one.
Let's go.
There we go.
Let's fucking go. Burn it to the fuck.
It's like
ground.
We know it's dead. I just want to hear how much damage.
Yeah, I
want to
hear how dead it is.
Okay,
it was with all this lightning right up the butt. All right,
it was a 11d6, but I rolled pretty poorly, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, no.
I got more with my 10d6 last round. But that will still be 78 damage.
That's Jesus Christ.
Yep. It's pretty fucking dead.
It just fries into goo.
So it drops and sizzles there at the end of the hallway.
What's that attack in DBZ that Vegeta does? It's like Big Bang Attack or something.
Big Bang Attack. Big Bang, Big Bang Attack.
All right. So Kezra fries this thing at the end of the hallway. Make me a perception check, Kezra.
Okay.
Jake's like, you just ended the next two combats that I had because they're all lined up.
Did I kill someone else in the hallway?
There was a conga.
The line goes pretty far.
I mean, but
it does, yeah.
It was a visiting troop of orphans. Oh, no.
The guns were taking care of them.
They weren't evil at all.
We didn't ask if they had orphans to take care of. I don't know why we didn't do that.
I saw the mouse head and I just assumed.
Okay, 24, I'll tell you, since you don't hear, like, the combat in the room anymore, just because, like, the one gug's gone and then you just kill the other one, you can hear what sounds like the shuffling of feet in the room that thing just died in.
I shot that out. I'm like, we've got company.
They brought cave trolls.
I've got a cave troll.
Okay, that's the end of your turn, though?
Yep.
Okay. Ambrose.
Okay. So this action, he's going to take the three actions, while the Eidolon is just going to take one.
Okay.
The Eidolon actually is going... Well, crap. He's been intimidated already, right?
By Benson, yes. Right? You can do it, yeah.
Okay, the Eidolon is going to attempt to intimidate.
Okay.
It will just shout, like kind of like, you know those, I mean, for the people who play Dark Souls and stuff, you know how the Silver Knights, when they die, it's kind of like that eruption sound. It's just like that, muffled scream. It's kind of like that scream comes out. And, let's see. How much his intimidation is going to be? Because his intimidation is a little bit less than Ambrose's. But I'm trying to set something up here. Because there's no way I can reach. So, I mean, whatever. Yep. Let's see.
What's the name of the knight that is your Eidolon?
Lucas. L-U-K-A-S.
Cool.
Lucas. It's a plus 20 to intimidate, so it's not bad.
Okay, yeah.
Let me die here. Da-da-da. I swear. Roll die. Why aren't you rolling die? 35.
35 against its. So this is a success.
Okay, so just. Frightened one.
Yep, so it is frightened one. I'll slap that on the.
Okay, and Ambrose is going to take one step up and take two to cast a telekinetic projectile.
Okay.
At this thing.
Nice.
That's a... Well, goddamn.
Oh, God. That sounds like a lot.
That's a natural 20, buddy.
Oh, my God.
I'm not joking.
Oh, I spell crit.
With the cantrip.
Rocks.
With the cantrip.
Interesting. Okay. Stunned. Normal damage, but the target is stunned too.
Oh,
that's actually... You're falling out of the sky.
Yeah, because you can't do that. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is still really good.
76 damage. So, I mean, it's not bad. 19 points of damage. He, 19? Like, curls something, like, rock on the ground, just fucking chucks it.
Got it. Okay, so it's stunned two now, though?
Stunned two.
Okay, so it still has one action, at least.
And stun goes away at the end of its turn.
Right, okay. All right, so it does come to its turn. It is going to fly up... and get as far away as possible to, like, the very, very top, but it flies very, very slow. So it just like, and it looks like it is like exasperated from like from the fright and the crit and all that kind of stuff. And then it's just at the very top of this domed structure.
Okay.
So that's all I can do with this one action. Benson, your turn.
Benson is going to sprint because Kezra shouted out what he heard, right?
Yes.
Benson is going to sprint to the door, shut it, and barricade it.
Good.
All right.
Cool.
All right, so you move up to the door, and you close it.
And if you want, say, an action for Benson literally throwing himself against the door to try to stop anything from coming in.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if something tries to open it, we can do, you know, athletics checks to see if they're able to push past you there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Garn.
All right. Garn is going to one action, his hasted action, to move next to Benson. He's going to... let me think. His transcendence, his eminence is currently in his horn. One action to move... One action to shift eminence back into his morning star. And then he's going to spark transcendence again. So give me that reflex save. It just goes, bam, 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 bam.
Okay. Reflex save.
An amherst.
a 29. So it's a fail.
Oh, fail.
Oh, my God.
Full damage. And I rolled terrible.
That's what we love to hear.
It happens to the best of us, buddy.
That's still going to be 18 points of damage, though.
That's not shabby.
Mm-hmm.
That's not too shabby.
And then, Benson, you are just so in awe of the radiance of Garn swinging his giant stick all around his cave.
God.
That you, too, gain 26 points of healing.
Let it wash all over my face. Just don't get in my eyes.
And I'm gonna need that back creature to roll will save.
Okay.
I'm sorry, how much was that? I was thinking of the joke.
26.
33 on the will.
Alright, you succeed. So you do not consider Garn to be peerless under heaven.
Gotcha. Okay. Alright. Okay. Kezra, it is your turn. You see that this thing has flown to the top of the dome structure in this room. And your two friends are barring the door, so it's up to you.
How high is the dome?
Boy, there's great questions in the world. This is one of them.
It's an important one.
I mean, 30 foot high. Ooh. So yeah, two dry fountains sit in the center of this 30 foot high domed roof chamber.
Okay.
So the walls themselves are 10 and then 30 above that, or just... Would it be 30 at the dome?
30 at the dome.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Okay. In that case, Kezra is going to... He's gonna start casting a spell, and it looks like fire starts to appear. But as he finishes the spell and raises his hand, the fire... it gets extinguished, and instead a, like... sick green line shoots at this thing, and I need there's like a sickly gray green beam is what it is.
Okay.
We'll have to roll a fortitude save as it gets hit with this green beam.
30.
That is exactly a success.
Okay.
What? Okay. How's your not 31?
It's my spell DC. It's different.
Mm.
Okay, so you'll take 2d8 persistent negative damage.
Oh.
Ooh. Okay.
As I've cast...
That's on a success.
Yeah. Or I guess I'll roll it on your turn. Sorry.
Jake. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
He is frightened still, right?
He is frightened.
No, because he went. So you
Oh,
you,
that's
you,
right. Sorry.
Yeah. You did the intimidate, and then his turn was right after, so it didn't last long.
Wait, did it fail Garn's will save?
Nope.
No. All right, it didn't. He didn't think I was going to
He wasn't that. Radiant enough.
Yeah. Not radiant enough. He used all his radiance on you, too. Okay.
Last action, I will cast shield.
Okay.
Or actually, I will move. I will actually move. I'll move close to Benson, actually.
All right.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, move me. I'm swooping in.
Okay. Then, Ambrose, it comes to your turn.
Okay. He's just don't do the same thing. He's going to do the act together, but one movement. And then, as soon as I take my second move action, I can just start moving over, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so, okay.
Yeah, you have one action left.
Yeah, so with 30 feet. Do I want to block guard? You know what? Boom, back here.
Yeah, that's good.
Nestled in the corner. And the Eidolon is going to take his move action.
Okay.
Here.
All right, so everybody's lined up around the door now.
Yep.
Okay, and that's all the movement for your turn?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. So, this creature, for those that can see it, a moment happens where it starts to, like, swirl around itself in the top of the room, and all of a sudden it is in a shadowy orb that just seems to float there at the very top.
Huh.
And that is all it does.
It takes 5 negative damage.
And it dies. I just imagine this orb and then it just falls out. And you're like, oh.
Do I get a save against this at all? Or is this a ongoing?
DC 15.
Oh, okay. It's a regular DC. Right.
Flat check.
Yeah, flat check.
So do a little flat check. Natural 20. So.
Fuck. Dang.
Poop.
I'll say this. Combat is effectively ended. Because you guys can sit there for a minute and watch this, and you see this orb just sort of like hover in place.
I mean, could we hit the orb?
What do you want to do? Let me ask that. Like,
I was just going to try to do my bam bam stick again.
Okay. You go and you swing and you try to hit it, and it just goes whomp right through it.
I can't really turn your back on this freaking thing. My God.
I feel like I can hit ghost
very
things.
Effective. Bat.
So if combat is effectively over, can I make some knowledge checks from this motherfucker?
I mean, you can just do that on your turn. Like I said, it's effectively over. If you guys want to give me an idea of what you guys want to try to do against this thing.
Oh, thank
God,
I can finally smoke a Marlboro.
Benson lights up.
I think immediately, yeah, I think someone tries to identify it. We see if anybody's coming at the door.
My turn would be next.
Yeah, I don't think we're like turning our back on this thing. Like, at least not immediately.
Right. Not until we figure out what's going on with it.
What type of knowledge check?
Yes. What?
So
what check would I?
It would. Arcana or nature would help you understand this thing.
I suck dick at both of those.
Oh, I got Arcana. Didn't expect it to be Arcana.
Oh, actually, no. It's bad, but it's not horrific.
I'm just in a cold spell. Like, I just won't roll well anymore. 25? Oh. I got good Arcana.
Unfortunately not.
Yeah, I rolled a 5.
Jesus. 32
Arcana?
Yep.
Yeah. So somehow, through all your travels, you've learned about the creature called the Deculi. These bat-like monstrosities inhabit the nooks and crevices of the Darklands, where they hang from stalactites and swoop down on unsuspecting prey.
Time out. That was technically a 31. Would that still work?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Just want to make sure.
DC 30, so you're
just
fine.
Just want to make sure.
Oh, yeah.
So, though they are completely sightless, Deculi possess rudimentary nerves in their skulls that allow them to detect the presence of infrared light information they use to locate potential food and threats. They are deadly hunters thanks largely to their magical ability to ebb the flow of shadows. Deculi prefer to feed on the warm blood of freshly killed prey, but they can't subsist on carrion if they have to. So you were kind of right on the blood thing. So I'll tell you this. The thing that they do is they have something called Create Shadow Sanctuary.
That's cool.
They create an extra-dimensional space adjacent to itself in a 10-foot by 10-foot area of darkness and enter it. So it just looks like it just looks like shadow up there, but you're able to differentiate between like regular shadow and this thing with your dark vision, guys. Mm-hmm. And you can see that this thing is just sort of floating in this extra-dimensional shadow space.
Wait, so we just need to shine light on it in this, and it's gone?
No, this is magic shadow. I don't think.
No, it said it had to be do it adjacent to shadow, right?
Isn't that what you said? No. It creates it adjacent to itself. So
it's its own sort of shadow realm.
Yeah, so it opens up a pocket shadow dimension and steps into it, and then
Jimbo,
it's just,
Jimbo, it's your shadow realm, Jimbo.
So it's not it's not gone.
No, it's not gone. It's just in a different dimension.
It's hiding.
Yeah. So that's the thing too, is that you know that this thing usually uses this to hide. So since you guys were beating the shit out of it, you think it just sort of took its exit up to the ceiling and did its ultimate protection, which is to go into a shadow sanctuary.
All right, the door then.
Because if it comes out, then we can go after it. I mean, because what? Basically, we can't do anything to it. Can't shine light up there, like cast light.
I imagine if you had like a strong enough to spell magic, it might work.
That kind of thing.
I could attempt to dispel magic, but I kind of feel like we don't need to worry about this thing.
Not right now. Like, if it decides to come out, we can then beat the shit out of it.
I
was looking for this particular line. Attacks cannot be made into or from the extra dimensional space.
From it either. So yes. it's basically a hiding spot for it now at this point. It's like, nope, you can't see me, I'm in base. Like,
yeah, I kind of feel like if we just leave this thing alone, it might not even bother us when we come back. And if it does, we'll beat the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Eat the gog. It's over there.
That creature. Do you guys want to roll a knowledge on that thing?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, the Machamp motherfucker, yeah.
Yeah, the Machamp guy. It is occultism. Yeah.
Oh, holy. Oh, boy.
Your forte, I believe.
Eh, sort of.
Oh, okay.
It's not the strongest, but, I mean, it's still a 30, so. 30 occultism.
30 occultism. That works. They're gugs. You knew that.
Gugs.
So gugs are, oh god, there's a 4 paragraphs on this thing.
They have chicken nuggets.
Wow, that's in the second paragraph. Interesting.
They have 4 arms for each plate.
For each nugget. Gug's most hard feature is its barrel-shaped head, which splits vertically to reveal numerous rows of sharp yellow teeth and an open throat. Its eyes on either side of its head are of its head jaw, head jaw. Are small but keen. Bony ridges protect its eyes from frantic flailing of its prey, as it prefers meals of raw and writhing meat over fungi and molds. It grips said prey with powerful arms that split at the elbow into a pair of forearms, giving it 4 clawed paws. These monstrous brutes are covered with shaggy black fur, often crusted with blood and gore. So that's one thing that I should note here, is that it smells like rancid in this room in particular, just because of you killed one. But when you were standing in front of that door, John, it smelled putrid.
Ugh.
It smelled absolutely awful. And I'll give you this visual, just because if you've ever smelled this before, you know what I'm talking about. We went to go look at a house recently, and the house had foreclosed a year ago.
Oh no.
There was mold everywhere.
Oh god.
The air was chunky. Yes.
It was literally going to be like a $100,000 thing to like
clean it,
fix.
Well, at that point, you burn the house down. I mean,
that might have been the best option. Yeah. But that's what you smelled. Yes. There is the most foul, rancid smell ever. Like, you smelled dead bodies before, nothing even touches it.
Damn.
Something about these things. You know, it has the claws. You know, had attack of opportunity. One thing to note about these things is that they have something called eerie flexibility. Despite its size, the Gog's multiple joints allow it to fit through tight spaces as if it were a medium creature.
Oh, gross.
So
slithers in.
So that place that you were squeezing through, it would have come right through.
That's fucking terrifying. Yeah,
that is horrifying. You're like, oh, they can't get us. And then just
starts all the bones and joints just like start contorting and moving it through. Just gross,
disturbing creature.
Yes. as I said, combat is effectively over. This shadow thing is just hovering above you guys.
Just point at it.
Hey, stay up there.
Get out of there, you.
Let me get the broom.
All right, Kezra's gonna pick up the torch, and he's gonna do some detect magic to see if he can sense anything beyond this door.
Okay.
Now, before we go poking around the door, let me all tend to your wounds.
Yeah, I'm not in any rush.
All right, cool. Because I have ward medic, so I can treat you all in the same 10 minutes.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. You know, on the battlefield, you gotta move quick.
Yeah.
Benson, are you down any health?
A couple hit points. I'm honestly pretty good.
Okay, well, I'll just take the lowest thing. So, treat wounds. It's like, I succeeded. Actually, without even trying, I crit on that, so that's pretty sick.
With my fast healing, I'm back to full.
Oh, sweet.
Okay. Fast healing just does that for you.
It kept going, and then it ended.
I think Kezra's probably the person you want to focus on.
Oh, yeah, Kezra is.
I'm all right after he healed me, but yeah, I'll take some healing.
Yeah. 16 to you, John. Sick. All right, I think I might try for the master. The master DC, because I'm a master of the medicine.
I'm feeling good about that?
I made it. Yeah, I do. So I got beat the DC 30 with ease. So now I get 2d8 plus 30.
Let's go.
Damn.
Yeah. So that's 40 points of healing.
Jeez. Oh, that'll do. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
that almost gets me full, so I'm solid.
Almost?
Mm-hmm.
It's just another 10 minutes.
Okay.
Whoa.
Benson, will look
around.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I can do... Ambrose can do a medicine check as well.
Well, I just crit.
Oh, well, okay.
Well, there we go.
Okay. Well, can you do whatever you want?
I don't even
want to waste 10 more minutes.
Kezra, you're detecting...
It's a lot.
You're detect magic, Kezra.
Yep.
You detect to... So there's a hallway in front of you, so to the north. So sort of there's the big wall, you know there's a hallway. To the north, you sense a very small ping of magic.
In this room?
Not in this room. I'm saying it in the...
Okay, in the north beyond the door.
Beyond the wall.
Okay.
So you only saw the hallway, and so you think that it would be, if you walk through the hallway, it would be to the room to your left, so going north. That's where you sort of feel the ping. But it's very, very small, very faint.
Okay, and there's no magic in this room.
There is... let me double check.
Besides the Deculi, probably.
How big is this room? Like, does it go higher up here? No, it does not.
Nope. So it's just let me measure real quick. Like, it's a 45 by 25 feet. So, this room seems pretty clean. Now I will say this: there were let me read the room since you guys are hanging out here again. Noxious looking patches of sickly fungus grow in thick tangles around each fountain. While the walls bear carvings of dwarves engaged in lively debate, the carvings are damaged and partially obscured by swaths of mold.
Could I do lore Five Kings Mountain on it? On the dwarven carvings?
Yeah, you can.
Hey. My people. I got a 29.
It's definitely dwarven make. It's definitely something that you would have seen in, you know, as a child. Now, you didn't spend too much time. When did you move from the Five Kings Mountains? Let me guess.
So there's a bit of debate between the parents.
Right.
We moved. my mom claims that we moved after I was born. My dad said it was before.
Okay.
They both have terrible memory.
Right.
So
okay.
No one can ever really confirm.
Look at all these beautiful carvings of dwarves destroying the libs with facts and logic.
Also, you're remembering something that was like 180 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. So, what you can tell as you are, you know, you read Dwarvish, and so you're able to sort of like discern sort of, you know, the hieroglyphics almost of like what you're seeing here. This is extremely old stuff, but it looks like this was one time a debate chamber. What you're seeing here is that you're seeing like the sort of like conversation between ideals and, you know, and theories and stuff like that. So you're seeing a bunch of like historic figures and stuff like that. It's all very old and you probably don't even recognize anything, but yeah. But this is absolutely dwarven make.
So where we came from was like a natural crack in the cavern.
Yes.
So this was like there's nowhere else to go. This was like the end of the whatever structure we may be in. So there's like a lot more to this place. If this is a debate chamber, that implies that there are lots of other rooms for other purposes. Perhaps
it's almost like we're in a dungeon.
Taken over.
it's more like an abandoned house. See, they put a lot of love and care into this place, and maybe they forgot to pay city taxes, got reclaimed, maybe foreclosed. Now it's fallen to ruin, but with enough time, I think we could really turn this place into something beautiful. Well?
No.
there's something to the north beyond that door.
I'm ready if you all are.
The north, eh?
Oh yeah, Kazura is going to pull out another torch and he's going to light it up.
I don't want to be I don't want to be dependent on what just one light source. Ambrose, do you have an extra hand for this?
Of course, he can take it.
Okay, so I will put the light source.
I know
on
you
Ambrose.
Have the dark vision, but Garn and Benson.
Funny enough, my eidolon does. I have what.
Okay.
Your Eidolon has a hand? Yeah. Or Luca? Luca has a
technically, he does.
Light the torch, open
the
door, and just flashbang!
Yeah, have him do it.
Yeah, no. Yeah, he can have a torch in one hand and a sword in the other. Yeah. He doesn't have a shield.
Okay. All right. Okay, so remind me again. Torch is 20 bright, 20 dim?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Kezra's holding one, and so is Luca.
Hmm. Okay. And let me put it on you as well, Kezra. 20 bright. Okay. All right. Let me get rid of the other light source. There we are. All right. So you two are wielding the light, and you may open the door at your leisure.
Benson, I'm going to raise my shield.
Open the door. Benson will begin to open the door.
Hold the door.
You open the door, and you are hit again in the face with that smell. The light, as you open the door, you can see what looks like that moldy smell, and you now see the concentrated source of it, which looks to be about here. It looks like there's just this festering mold on the floor crawling up onto the walls. But in this hallway, it's a 10-foot wide hallway, you see a door going to the north, about 20 feet ahead of you, and then a door going directly south, about 15 feet in front of you.
I must just want to, cast a fireball in that room and just destroy all the mold.
Right?
Yeah. I was also just thinking, lighting another torch and throwing it ahead.
Yeah, that's an idea. We have plenty of torches. Can we launch a torch into the concentrated mold in the back of the hallway?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Just from the doorway.
Yep. So you could easily just go, just throw it in. It seems to... Let me make sure real quick.
If it goes out, okay. I can just cast Illuminate and it'll relight.
So
it's true.
So you throw the torch and it seems to land just pop, 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 or ta-ding, 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 down the hallway, and it lands directly on the fungus, and then you see the fungus consume the end of the torch as if the fire did nothing.
Good thing we didn't cast Fireball.
Yes. Dang, we should probably roll a knowledge check.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead and... It is definitely a fungus, so I would say that your crafting would definitely work. or if you have nature.
Crafting or nature. Okay.
It's a fungus. I mean, you know, it's the if you're an alchemist, you know all sorts of these things. So
that's a good fungus point. Fungus. All right, lore alchemy, I guess, or crafting alchemy.
Yep.
Okay. That'll be 30.
30. I think that just works, actually. So this is something called ash web. This dangerous sooty black mold readily releases its toxic spores when disturbed. So when I said that it consumed the flame, it just sort of went like,
yeah,
and just swallowed. So let's see. In order to, you can remove the spores by like scooping it. You just have to be extremely careful, and by that I mean rolling a good survival check.
Oh God.
What happens, however, is that there is when you step into it, that's when it releases the spores and they puff up all around you. So that's why I said you have to be careful with it, because if you just try to like chop at it or something like that, then it releases the spores. You have to be very, very gentle with doing it. So if that happens, everything within 10 feet is covered in these spores. How would I put this? You feel extremely weak and your body just continues to take poison damage effectively.
Okay.
Is
poison mist, I mean.
Yeah. It's essentially a poison fungus mist.
So it would take good survival to get by it safely.
Yes.
Does it consume the whole hallway or just the back couple tiles?
No, it's very, very, it's a very large patch from what you can see here. And I'll say this, you know that it can't be in direct sunlight because then it retreats. So if you have a way to do sunlight, then you could stop it from shooting its spores.
Who can cast sunlight?
We don't have no fans of Saren Ray in this party.
Nah, unfortunately not.
Okay.
And none of us are good at survival.
No.
Not exceptional at all.
No. So. Well. Luckily, you don't have to deal with it right now. There are the two doors to the north and south.
And maybe there'll be a vial of sunlight or something.
Maybe!
Bottled sunlight!
Just a bottle of Sunny D.
The spores just went, that's unhealthy.
Take the power of the sun!
All right, Benson, I'm gonna open up this southern door. Sorry. Scared myself.
You open up this door, and you look inside. No, don't go in just yet. I see your token.
Jesus Christ, Garth.
I was about to say, you didn't even give us a chance to talk about it.
You open up the door to the south, Tim, and you can clearly see what was a kitchen. Although no one seemed to have used the hearth in this dusty kitchen for centuries, the air in here remains warm. The stone tables and pantry shelves are devoid of food, but are strewn with a collection of stone and metal utensils. So it seems like a kitchen at first, and you're like, oh, look, a kitchen. But all of a sudden you hear,
finally, please help. Help, I've been trapped here for so long.
And I'll see you guys next time.
Oh. Kill it with fire.
Garn, close
Kill it
the
with
door.
Fire.
Scream big.
Nothing in there.
Hey, Kestrel, did you hear what that weak voice was? I need you to burn the fuck out of that.
Fireball.
Well, howdy! Have you ever heard of MistyMountainGaming.com and their wide selection of stone dice, glass dice, hollow dice, metal dice, spinet dice, shard dice, red dice, sterling silver dice, legal core dice, legal cone dice, acrylic dice, aluminum dice, oversized dice, and D6 dice? Well, if you haven't, you need to head on over to MistyMountainGaming.com. And while you're over there, and drop Dragon Punch Squad a check out for 10% off. Yep, you guys, you get all those different types of dice. You can drop in Dragon Punch Squad at checkout for 10% off. It's Misty Mountain Gaming.com.